Genesis chapter 39. Our pastor is going through the book of Genesis on Wednesday night. We're going to be a little bit ahead of where he's at in the book of Genesis. He'll be back in Genesis on this Wednesday night, and next Sunday he'll be back in the book of Matthew. But we're going to look at just a topical teaching this morning, a topical teaching that I have titled, The Power of a Faithful Life. The Power of a Faithful Life. There's a story of a young man who went to a farmer, and he wanted to apply as a farmhand. He went to the farmer and said, I would like to apply for a job. And the farmer asked him, what are your qualifications, son? What are your qualifications for this job? And he says, I can sleep when the wind blows. The farmer looked at him and he said, I don't understand. What did you just say? I said, I can sleep when the wind blows. The farmer didn't quite understand what the young man was saying, but he liked the young man and he said, you're hired. And the young man took the job. Well, one night shortly after, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the middle of the night by a very violent storm. And they got up to see if things were secure on the farm. And they found that the shutters of the farmhouse, well, they had been securely fastened. And they found a good supply of logs next to the fireplace. The young man, they looked in, and he was sleeping soundly. You see, the farmer and his wife, they inspected their property. They found that all the farm tools had been put away in the barn. The animals were safe. They were calm. All was well. The farmer, you see, then understood what the young man had said. I can sleep when the wind blows. You see, because the farmhand had done his work loyally, when the skies were clear, he was prepared for that storm as it came in his life. So when the wind blew, he wasn't afraid. See, he could sleep in peace. The story about that young farmhand illustrates a principle that I'd like us to look at this morning. You see, there was nothing dramatic about what the farmhand had done. He was just doing his job. He had done faithfully what he was paid to do. His peace was his even during that storm that night. There's a little tiny poem that I'd like to read to you that expresses that. It isn't the things you do, it's the things you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the rising of the sun. You see, each day the sun sat on Joseph's life. Joseph in the Old Testament is one of my favorite Bible characters. I love to read about Joseph. I've read the story many, many times. He's someone that I like to read about because his life was a life that we can model after. You see, Joseph could rest easy because he had been faithful. When he was home with his father, Jacob, he had done what he was supposed to do. He was a faithful son. When he was minding his father's flocks, he did it faithfully. He had been that faithful worker. When he was even sold to Potiphar, he proved to be that faithful servant. Oh, because he had been faithful, you see, the Lord blessed everything that he did. We're going to read about that in just a moment. You see, in the passage that we're going to look at this morning, we're allowed to see the faithfulness of Joseph, oh, very clearly. He remains faithful to God in what he goes through. In the face of many problems that would have caused many others probably to fail. But you see, God wants us to be faithful. See, he wants us to stay that course, to run the course, to run the race until he calls us home. Joseph teaches us how to be faithful in spite of what we might face in this life. As we look at the power of a faithful life, we want to look at how we can stay faithful. How do we stay on that path? One of my favorite verses, Psalm 115, 107 says this, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you were with us in our men's meeting the other night, we talked about that. We talked about how the light shows where we're standing. It gives us that solid position to stand on. But you see, the lamp also lights our path going down. As that light, that lantern was slung, that showed that light down the path. Maybe the path went this way. a little bit. Maybe the path went that way. Maybe it was straight for a while. You see, that light showed which way to walk. And that's what the Word does for us. It gives us that path that we stay on. Follow along as I read in verse number 7, Genesis 39. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. You see, Joseph, as we can see in verse number 6, if you go back to 6, he was a good-looking young man. It says, thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand and did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was a little good-looking guy. But you see, as Joseph ministered in Potiphar's house, what happened? Well, he caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. Mrs. Potiphar. She began to flirt with him. We see that in verse number 7. And in that short time, she became downright brazen in her attempt to have Joseph sin. But you see, Joseph was faithful. He refused her advances, even when she persisted, as we see in verse number 10. But you see, on that certain day, she was in the house alone, and when Joseph came in, what happened? She grabbed him by the garment and said, lie with me. What happened? Joseph left his garment in her hand and ran away. You see, in this trial that Joseph went through right then and there, he remained absolutely faithful to the Lord. How and why did Joseph remain faithful? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. It gives us some insight. Just listen, if you would. I'll read it for you. It says, run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You see, Joseph was a long, long way from home. He was in a strange land. Maybe he would have adopted the motto, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Who would know? His family certainly wouldn't know if he had been unfaithful with Potiphar's wife. You see, when I worked in corporate America, I used to go out and travel to trade shows, and we would go and work the trade show, and at night, the time was ours, and the guys would always go out, and I would always say, no, you know what, I don't want to go with you. I want to be faithful. But you see, Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to do what he knew was wrong. Joseph didn't care where he was. He was determined to do the right thing. He refused to violate the trust of his master and the trust of his God. Look at verse number 9. It says, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me because you are his wife. How can I do that great wickedness and sin against God? You see, his family would have never known. Potiphar might have never known. But Joseph knew that God in heaven would know. And that knowledge of knowing that, you see, was enough to keep him pure and not do what was wrong. I love Proverbs 15:3. It says this, the Lord is watching everywhere. Did you think about that? The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the good and the evil. Think about that just for a second. People always say, don't you think God is surprised about what's going on in the world? No. God knows what's going on in the world. He sees it all. He sees every bit of it. He's got it all planned out. The Lord is watching everywhere. You know, Mrs. Potiphar was probably a pretty good-looking woman. Why do I say that? Well, Egyptian women back in that time were known to be very nice-looking ladies for their physical beauty. And she probably appealed to the male side in Joseph, in all honesty. But you see, nowhere in the text does it say that Joseph was repulsed by her appearance. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, no, you know, not going to do that because you're not good looking. It doesn't say that. Joseph was more interested in glorifying God than glorifying his flesh. He was determined to be faithful to God. He was determined to be faithful to God regardless of that personal cost. It was a decision he had made long before he arrived in Egypt, long before he was there in Potiphar's house. It was a decision that he was determined that he was going to stand by. Joseph had that same conviction, and he had drawn those boundaries. And I would say to us this morning, we need to draw those same boundaries. When those times of temptation come, we have to be ready and we have to be already decided how we're going to handle that temptation. You see, at this time in Joseph's life, he had gotten a big promotion. Oh, he had the favor of Potiphar. He did just as he pleased in that house. He might have said, you know, I can't do wrong. I might as well enjoy the fruits of my labors, but Joseph didn't do that. Joseph was faithful. Oh, you see, we need to remember that we are more vulnerable to temptation when we've had that great victory. Think about that. When we've had those great victories in life, we are more vulnerable to that temptation. We might feel like we can do anything. God, I've got this one. I've got this one. I don't need your help in this one, God. I've got it. You can sit over there in the sidelines of this one. I did that once in a business venture. I went into the vending machine business. Big mistake. Those courses of life are expensive. I told God, you know, I think I got this one, God. I know what I'm doing. I did. We don't want to put God on the sidelines. You see, when we got those good things going in our life, we need him even more. We need him to pour in our lives even more. We need to look to him even more. We need to be in the Word more. We need to be on our knees more. We need to be in service more. First Corinthians 10:12 says it this way. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. You see, it was that perfect time, that perfect opportunity when Potiphar's wife caught Joseph when there was really no physical reason why they couldn't do what she wanted to do. The only thing that stopped it was Joseph's integrity. He stood his ground. It's interesting. Most of you don't know, but I serve on a Broward County governmental board. I sit on the board, and every year I have to tell the county what my finances are and where my finances come from so they can check me out to make sure I'm not getting any kickbacks. on this board that I'm on. I had to take a class to learn about, believe it or not, integrity, to know what I could do and what I couldn't do. If somebody offered me a bottle of water, you can't take that because that could be viewed as a gift. Integrity. You see, that's what Joseph had. Joseph had integrity in his life. He knew right from wrong. He had planned from the beginning where he was going to be. He stood his ground. He was determined to do what was right, regardless of the cost. And that's a key right there, regardless of the cost, because being and having integrity will cost us sometimes. It will cost. There is a cost to it. But that's what God says we're to have, integrity. We are to know right from wrong, and Joseph knew that. We need to remember that our enemy, Satan, is the master of setting things up. Please remember that. He will put us in the right places at just the right times. He'll make sin look so innocent and so easy. He would even make it seem like we'd be a fool to resist. We'd be a fool to resist. When I was going to go into business with two guys who were not Christians, I would have been a fool to resist because it was going to be a gold mine. But guess what? It failed. And I would have lost my shirt if I had done that. I thank my sister every time I see her for asking me, are those two guys Christians you're going in business with? And I said, no. And she says, I don't have to say anymore. Satan will set us up. I would remind you that the opportunities that Satan gives us to sin will lead to much disappointment, will lead to discouragement, can even lead to possible death. A buddy of mine that I worked with for many years, mid-50s, passed away just a couple weeks ago because he was a dependent on alcohol. Couldn't give it up. Couldn't give it up. It'll lead to disappointment, discouragement, possible death. Listen to what the scripture says about temptation. Temptation is never from God. James 1:13, it says, remember when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempting to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation is always from within, James 1:14 and 15. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. But you see, there's always a way out of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape. Hear that, please. With temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I've told the story about a missionary in overseas. When he was driving down a road, there was a very sexually oriented billboard that bothered him. And he had to change his pathway. He had to go a different way to work. It was a longer way around, but he didn't want to look at that billboard. You see, there was a way around that temptation. Five things to deal with temptation quickly. Deal with it immediately. Nip it in the bud. As Barney Fife would say, nip it, nip it, nip it. Nip it in the bud. Deal with it realistically. Get away from it at all costs. Deal with it ruthlessly. Do whatever it takes to avoid it, just like that missionary who had to find a different way to go around from the billboard. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to deal with. Get away from it from all costs. Do whatever it takes to avoid it. Deal with it consistently. Learn to be consistent in your resistance. Learn to be consistent in your resistance. And deal with it confidently. We have the Lord's great promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we just read. It says God will make a way of escape. That word escape is an interesting word. It means to egress or way out. If you look at in this building, there's exit signs. We know the way out, the way to egress. In ancient Greece, that word referred to a place of landing of a ship. You see, God gets us through those rough times. He gives us that place to land the boat. Please remember when you're going through those difficult times that God is with you in the boat. He does not leave you. He will help you land the boat and get away from it as you go through those difficult times. Oh, you see, the main reason Joseph was able to remain faithful was he saw what sin was. He knew what sin, the reality of it. He knew that just for those few minutes of pleasure, he didn't see it as being right. He didn't even see it as an option. Joseph saw that sin was a great affront to his mighty God. In verse number 9, it says, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, if we want to be successful in navigating those waters of temptation, then we need to see sin really for what it is. It's not a mistake, it's wickedness. Sin is not a mistake, it's wickedness. Sin is a shame in any life, but as a believer, sin is especially wicked in the life of a believer. Joseph was faithful in spite of those temptations. He wanted to finish well. I want to finish well. I hope you want to finish well. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That first section, and I forgot to tell you this, was faithful in spite of temptations. Faithful in spite of temptations. Number 2, verses 13 through 19, faithful in spite of trials. Faithful in spite of trials. "And so it was outside," verse number 13, "when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came to me to lie with me, and he cried out with a loud voice.' And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside.' So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused." You see, Mrs. Potiphar had been turned down on the trap that she had set. And when Joseph runs out, she must have rumpled her hair up and maybe messed up her clothes. And she takes the garment that he had. Maybe she tears up and she goes to her husband. The other servants are coming to run when she's screaming to see. And she tells him, "Hey, Joseph has taken advantage of me." She holds onto that garment. And when her husband arrives at home, she springs the trap. She blames Potiphar for the problem. In verse number 17, "If you hadn't brought this slave home, none of this would have happened. Look what you have allowed to happen in our home." And so Potiphar hears the accusations against Joseph, and what happens? He becomes very angry. Do we wonder what he was really mad at? What was he really mad at? Was he mad at Joseph because he believes his wife's story? I don't know. Was he mad at Joseph? Or was he mad at her because he knew that there was lust in her heart? Was he mad at himself because he didn't have the courage to stand up to his wife? Or was he mad because he was thinking about all the money he was going to lose that Joseph was making him? Genesis 39:5 says it this way, "So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house," that's Joseph as the overseer of his house, "and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. You see, he was blessing Potiphar because God was blessing Joseph. Potiphar could see probably the inconsistencies of the story that his wife was telling. But what did he do? He threw Joseph in jail, in prison. Psalm 105, 17 through 19 says this. It kind of tells us the pain that Joseph endured in prison. It says, then he sent someone to Egypt at the head of him, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. The Lord tested Joseph's character. Joseph was in a tough place in prison. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes just for a minute. Just for a minute. You've been faithful to the Lord. You've been a faithful servant to your master Potiphar. You've avoided committing this adultery with Potiphar's wife, even though she's basically thrown herself at him every day. You've been falsely accused. What would you do? What would you do? I know what most of us would do, including myself. We'd probably have launched out on a long and long defense. I didn't do it. Why are you doing this to me? God, why are you punishing me like this? I've been faithful to you. Oh, we would have declared our innocence. We would have vowed to take some sort of revenge, maybe, when the opportunity presented itself. But you see, Joseph didn't do that. And that's what I love about the picture of Joseph. Because if you look at it closely, the picture of Joseph is like a picture of Jesus. And it's so appropriate that we're going to have communion in just a few minutes to know what Jesus did for us on the cross. That he took the beating that was due us. What I'm saying is that we have to learn to be faithful even during the difficult times of life. During those trials that we come up against. When everything goes against us. When that full weight of life just bears down upon us. Remain faithful to God. Remain faithful to Jesus. He loves us. He bought us. And he saved us. Don't let those hardships of life throw you off course. Trust God. Stay on the course as he looks for those faithful servants. I saw a bunch of faithful servants here this morning. Wow, did I see a bunch of faithful servants. I just kind of sat back and watched. Oh, I gave the ladies a hard time in there this morning, but I do that every week. But I just watch people working, the faithfulness of getting things set up, the faithfulness of all the work that was done. Be faithful in your service. Stay the course. I want to be found faithful. He's been faithful to me. I want to be faithful to him. Be faithful in spite of trials. Verses 20 and 22 to 23, faithful in spite of tragedies. Faithful in spite of tragedies. Then Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in sight of the keeper of prison. And the keeper of prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison, whatever they did there. It was his doing. The keeper of prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Isn't that a beautiful verse? The Lord made it prosper. Joseph's back in the pit again. Oh, you see, this time he's not in the pit of the earth that his brothers threw him in. No, now he's in the pit of a prison. I think many people would have given up. I think many people would have given up if they had been found in the same situation. But Joseph didn't give up. He did in prison what he did at Potiphar's house. He did what he had done at his father's house. He was faithful to God in everything that he did. He did his job there in prison just like he did when he was running his father's house or the place of Potiphar. The jailer, well, he trusted Joseph to do whatever needed to be done. The Lord was with Joseph, it says in verse number 21. Showed mercy, verse number 23. The Lord was with him, and that what he did, the Lord made it prosper. You see, Joseph was faithful to the Lord, regardless of where he was, regardless of what he was, where he was. The Lord was faithful to Joseph. You see, there are going to be those times that we go through, folks. Those times of trial, those times of tribulation, those times when we have difficulty. John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That's such a wonderful verse that we can hold on to. As the world seems like it's falling apart, it's not. It's falling in place. God has complete control. We just see this little portion of the parade going by us, but God has the whole thing in view. He knows what's going to happen. He knows exactly when he's coming back, and I believe he's coming back soon. Amen. I believe he's coming back soon. God wants us to remain faithful in spite of whatever we might face in life. Psalm 37:23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Did you think about that? He delights in every detail of our life. Every detail. Just grasp that just for a second. Everything that we do, he wants to know about. He knows about it already, but he wants to delight in our life. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. God bless Joseph. God bless Joseph and used him in prison because Joseph remained faithful. You know the story. Eventually, Joseph does get out. And you know the full story of Joseph. If you don't, read it this afternoon. It's a wonderful story. I hope the greatest thing that can be said about you and me is that our walk for God is faithful. I hope your walk is faithful. I want to be found faithful. How about you? I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to be faithful to my family. I want to be faithful to my call. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be faithful to the church. But I want to be faithful to the one who's been so faithful to me, Jesus. So just keep living for Jesus. Keep praying. And when those answers aren't coming, keep praising him. Keep praying more. We talked about prayer on Wednesday night from Romans, about how Paul asked for prayers for him. Paul had so much together in his life, yet he went to those that were around him and said, pray for me as I go to Jerusalem. Pray for me. Pray for our church. Pray for our pastors. Pray for our radio station. Pray for the ministry, that as the word goes out, that it'll go out and ears will hear it. And that if people are listening, don't know Jesus, they'll accept Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. If the Lord were to look at your life today, and he does, he sees everything that you do, would he be able to say they have done what they could? They've done what they could. Are you faithful to the Lord? Is there room for improvement? Joseph was faithful. Jesus is always faithful. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful story of Joseph, for being able to look at the faithfulness of Joseph this morning. Father, help us to be more faithful. Help us to love you more. Help us to want to do more for you, to walk closer with you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.